Today, as we bring you another program here on The More Abundant Life, I want to wish you a warm welcome. I hope that you will stay tuned to our program today. This is The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we will conclude a message that was begun in a previous broadcast. If you heard the title, One Thing Better Than Wisdom, Part 1, I'm certain that you're going to want to hear the conclusion of this message in today's program, which will bring us Part 2 of this message. This is going to be program number 179 in our series. The title again, One Thing Better Than Wisdom. I do hope that this program is going to be a blessing to you. We strive to bring you the best of messages and also music here on The More Abundant Life, and today is no exception. The message will begin after we hear some music. Here's music by Wendley Phipps. This is a song entitled He's Able.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. We pray as best we can. Now we must leave it in His hands. Yet I know when my eyes fail to see, He is able. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. But if He chooses not to move in the way we prayed He would, confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand behind His word, for He is able. Questions seem to haunt you night and day. God allowed your heart to be torn this way. Does He listen when you call? Or is He even there at all? Yet I know when our eyes fail. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. But if He chooses not to move in the way we pray He would, confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand. Away, I
I came across a fictional story, but it makes the point about people who you just can't teach them anything. This man walked up to a brother and he said, "Hey, man, what you doing?" He was pounding on some wood. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a rocket." He said, "You're building a rocket?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Out of wood?" He said, "Yes." Some folks, you just can't teach them anything. He said, "What you doing? Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to the sun." He said, "You going to the sun with a rocket made out of wood?" He said, "Man, you get halfway up there, you're going to burn up." The brother who you couldn't teach him anything, he said, "Man, get out of my face." He said, "Listen, let me tell you, you think I'm going there in the day?" Some people are so wise in their own eyes, you can't teach them anything. Some people act like they are so wise, but they're really foolish. Man is always deceived when he puts too much trust in his own wisdom. Amen. Solomon spent much of his time trying to develop good relations with the surrounding nations. And guess how he did it? By marrying wives from heathen nations. I'm talking about the wisest man in the world. You can find it 1 Kings 11:3. It says he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And 1 Kings 11:4 says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods." Solomon married so many wives. The Bible says, well, I'm going to paraphrase, he couldn't any longer pay their hex bill on his own. Are you listening to me? He couldn't handle the nostrum bill from his 1,000 wives and concubines. And he was supposed to be the wisest man in the world. Wisdom ought to tell you that one wife is expensive enough, brother. Amen? With all that wisdom, he didn't figure that out. Wisdom ought to tell you that keeping more than one family will cost you in more ways than you can imagine. To pay for all his wives and concubines, the Bible tells us Solomon had to start levying taxes. He had to start the first IRS to handle all the wives. But even worse than that, servant of God says that in his character, he became an effeminate. His love of women and excess indulgence in passion, he became physically and spiritually weak. He became indecisive. With all those wives, that must have been. That must have been something to have 1,000 wives and you can't take a stand. Lord, woo! His love of women, he became a tool, she says, and a slave of others. Servant of God says he, and in the second volume of the Testimonies, page 306, she says he wavered between right and wrong like a giddy teenager. The wisest man in the world. In appearance and character, he acted more like a scatterbrained kid than a man. He was never so rich, she says in Prophets and Kings. He was never so rich or so wise or great as when he confessed, "Lord, I'm but a little child." That's when you're really wise. When you bow down before God and said, "God, I don't even know how to go out. Don't know how to come in." For it is by honoring God and obeying his commands that you are truly wise. Finally, because of his self-reliance on his own wisdom, God broke his covenant with Solomon. The very gift Solomon asked for, God gave him. The very gift became the source of his downfall. For you see, God can do little for people who lose their dependence upon him. There is one thing better than wisdom. Total dependence on God. I want you once more to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. Thank God for his holy word. My message this morning, one thing better than wisdom. Look at verse 9. God was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. The God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. And look how the Lord dealt with Solomon. Look at verse 14. The Lord raised up an adversary. Woo! God raised up an enemy. And look at verse 26. He raised up another enemy. Brothers and sisters, trouble was Solomon's wake-up call. His servant Jeroboam rebelled against him. You know, sometimes God will send you trouble as your wake-up call.
That's right.
He'll send enemies and adversaries to get your attention. In the Clare Word, listen to what Solomon says. And I don't know if any of you have the Clare Word Bible. You can follow it. But the Clare Word Bible is an unusual Bible. And I like the way it says. Look at what Solomon, look at what he came to. Listen to what he said in Ecclesiastes. And you can turn there. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. Solomon says, so I decided to enjoy myself. I wanted to be happy and not worry, to be free from responsibilities. But I soon found that if all you do is live to enjoy yourself, life has no meaning. Verse 2, he said, I also discovered, you mind if I read this morning? I also discovered that incessant laughing, laugh track in your house, having a good time turns you into a fool when the party is over. And the fun is gone. Solomon said in verse 3, I tried it. I decided to cheer myself with wine and still do my work, letting my wisdom guide me. I wanted to see if this was the best way for people to enjoy themselves while they lived. I also decided to see if doing big things would bring happiness. I built palaces and developed acre upon acre of vineyards. I built orchards, filled them with every variety of fruit trees. I developed parks, filled them with ornamental trees. I constructed huge dams and reservoirs to water those trees. I bought talented slaves, both men and women. There were also slaves born in my household. I owned more cattle than anyone who had ever lived in Jerusalem. I collected silver and gold as taxes from the colonies. I ruled, put it all into the treasury. I employed men and women singers just to sing for me. My harem was bigger than that of any other king. I had all the women a man could want. Verse 9, I was greater than anyone in Jerusalem. I felt good about it. In all of this, I had wisdom. It seemed to work. I denied myself no pleasure. Whatever I wanted, I got. I felt good about everything I had accomplished. Are you listening to the wisest man in the world? I had accomplished, and I felt that pleasure was the legitimate reward for man. Then one day, he said, I looked, in verse 11, I looked at all my achievements, and I realized that none of it was going to last. In that sense, my efforts were meaningless. They were as useless as chasing a rainbow. Everything I had done in one way or another had been tried by other kings. In all my attempts, I had discovered nothing new. And verse 12, so I decided to give my energies to philosophy and learning, examining the questions of life. Also, I thought about what the next king could do that I had not already done. And it was obvious, verse 13, that wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. A wise man looks ahead and knows where he's going, while a fool can't see beyond the nose of his face. Yet they are both headed for the same destiny. Then I concluded in verse 15 that the same destiny that awaits a fool awaits me. No matter how wise I am or how much I've accomplished. So I said to myself, all is vanity. What's the use? And look at verse 17. He said, I hated life. Here's a man with everything. And he says, I hated life. Whew. And all of us chasing after those things. The money, the women, the fame, the power. He said, I hated life with its meaninglessness. A man works diligently, struggles with problems throughout his life, and when it's over, what has he done that really lasts and is never forgotten? Finding meaning to life, he said, is like chasing the wind. That's why I hated everything I had worked for here on earth, not to mention all the trouble and headaches that searching, I like this, not to mention all the trouble and headaches that searching for happiness and pleasure had given me. I told myself, before I know it, I'll have to die and leave everything to those who follow me. Right. And look at verse 19. Who knows whether the next leader will be wise or foolish and whether he'll build up or tear down everything I've done? I won't be around to see it or know whether I was wise or foolish. Oh, my goodness. In that sense, he said, my work has been useless and without meaning. Then I began somebody read it for me. Verse 20, what does it say? I what?
Went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor.
I went about to cause my heart to despair. Solomon said, I began to get depressed. This man who had everything. I began to get depressed. How hard I worked, nothing would last. The more discouraged I became when I realized that. In verse 21, a man may work wisely and skillfully. He may look ahead and plan carefully. But in the end, he has to leave everything to those who never worked for it. So what's the use? And verse 22, what does a person really get out of life? What does he get for all his work? What do you get for all that hard work, all that stress, all that anxiety? And verse 23, he said, a person who works hard all his life goes through a lot of pain and grief. Somebody say amen. Amen. To accomplish what he wants. But for what? There are nights when he can't sleep because he's got too much on his mind. Somebody say amen. I decided in verse 24 that the most rewarding things in this life are satisfaction in your work and enjoyment of your food, and even these simple pleasures are gifts from God. Verse 25, without him, we wouldn't ever live to enjoy these. And verse 26, God, what? God what? He's the source of all good, of all knowledge. He gives wisdom and happiness to those who please him, and takes it away from those who keep on sinning. Jesus. Don't let the gifts God gives you bring you down. But praise the Lord, Solomon repented. He came to a moment of despair. You know, repentance means to recognize that at the heart of your sin is self-trust.
That's right.
So Solomon began to go back to the old landmarks. And that's why one day he penned these words. Children, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding or your own wisdom or your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Put him first and he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God, depart from evil. For it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young man, young woman, I say to you today, don't rob God of your youth. Don't give to the world the youth and the strength God has given you. Give God your flower in its bud every day, all day long. Remember that the whole of life belongs to God. I encourage you today, give God your youth. He made you. He alone knows how to make you happy. Don't rob him of your talent. Don't rob him of your strength. Give him your spirit, your body, your mind, and soul. If you don't live like a Christian, you are robbing God of your testimony. Every day of your life, let God's wisdom guide you. Fear the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes, and verse 6 says, he in all thy ways acknowledge him. He will what? Direct your path. Sometimes he will direct you through a strange way. Can I preach 10 more minutes this morning? Sometimes he'll lead you. You have no idea why he's leading you that way. I found in my life, God never leads you down the expressways of life. It's always a winding road. It'll guide you. He guides you through providence. He guides you. Sometimes he will take what men throw at you to hurt you and use it to bless you. In the midst of difficulties, when the way seems blocked up, obstructions all over, enemies behind you, before you, defeat looms before you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding or your own insight in or your own wisdom in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Put him first. He'll direct your path. For when you let God go before you, those gates that bar your entrance will come down. God will step up to your problems before you get there. And he'll say, move aside. And when you let God go before you, your trials will see him coming and step aside. Remember, God directs you by obstacles and delays as well. Instead of knocking down some barriers, God erects them to help you. Sometimes God erects barriers to help you. He doesn't want you to have that job. And so he puts up barriers. He doesn't want you to marry that person. So he puts up barriers. And they are only guardrails along the highway of life that will keep you from going over the precipice. Somebody help me this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. As God directs you, he'll see storms coming and he'll guide you around them. The story's been told, as I close today, of a farmer who was trying to teach his son how to plow a straight line. After the horse had been hitched up and everything was ready, he told the boy, listen, let me tell you how you do this. Keep your eye on some object at the other end of the field and you just aim straight for it. You'll be able to plow in a straight line. He said, look, see that cow over there? Keep your eye on the cow and just plow straight ahead. The boy started plowing. Farmer went about his chores. When he came back a little later, he was shocked to find instead of a straight line, there was a zigzag line in the field. It looked like more of a question mark than a straight line. And he found out, he said, what happened? He said, well, the cow kept moving. To plow straight in life, you got to keep your eyes on the wisdom of God. The wisdom of men It is fickle. You'll never be able to go in a straight line if you follow the wisdom of men. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, because your life is all messed up because you've been plowing all over the place. I got to quit this morning. Some trust in the power and military might. We place our trust in God. Trust in the Lord. See those words from Solomon? They were born of hard experience. It was not in some flurry of creativity that he wrote those words. He wrote those words after a hard and difficult life. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge God and let him direct your paths. One of the best things in my life I ever did, I prayed like a madman when I saw the woman I believe God wanted me to marry. I prayed, I fasted. I prayed some more, and I fasted. Make sure you pray and pray some more. Don't lean on your own wisdom. For there is something better than wisdom. It is total dependence on the wisdom of God.
That brings us to the end of our message today and just about to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message, that you understood it, and that it's been a blessing to you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office. The phone number is 301-577-6342. That phone number again is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 179, which will give you the title, One Thing Better Than Wisdom, and we heard part two of that message today. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I want to wish you all of God's richest blessings. I hope that you will join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words of John 10 verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.